Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Samuel 3, 1-10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "I am here. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel," and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, he called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling to the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay, that's very important. That's the topic of my sermon today. Can you hear me? Next week, we will have an international worker with us. Our YouTube will only be live online for 2 days for next week. So those ones who are still joining us through YouTube, please take note. Next week's YouTube will only be left on for 2 days. So this morning, it's a very, very important message. Well, all my messages are important because it's from the scripture. We're going to learn how to listen, how to listen. And for those of us who are parents, and we know we always, when our children are young and small, we always have a problem in getting their attention. When you talk to them, it appears that they are listening, but they are actually not. They are in a different world. It's called selective listening. And we always try to say, well, of course, when they grow up, they are adults, they're different. Right? But when they are small, little, you tell them to do something, you keep talking to them, say, yes, 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 but you know that they are not listening. They may have heard what you are saying, but they are not listening. And when I was young, I really liked a song, a folk song, I guess it's called, a Song of Silence. So how many of you have heard this song, Song of Silence? Okay, that tells your age or the era that you are in. So this song must be 40 years old or even older, but it's a really beautiful song. Actually, I really like the two singers. Song of Silence. And when I was young, I think this one was the top hit. In those days, you can only listen to the radios. You don't have internet. The Song of Silence. "Hello, darkness, my old friend. I have come to talk with you again within the song of silence." It's not about listening to someone in darkness. Song of silence. In darkness, in your dreams, it's darkness. But you're talking, you're listening to a voice, to some song in silence. How strange it is. People talking without speaking. Are you talking? Yes, I'm talking. But they're not saying anything. They make a lot of noise. But after that, you do not know what they are trying to say. People, the same for the ones who are listening. People hearing without listening. Do you hear me? Yes, yes. Well, it's like sometimes like your husband. You're talking to your husband. Are you listening? Yes, yes, yes. Well, repeat what I said. I said, I cannot. Can you say that again? Right. We're hearing, and sometimes people are like that, hearing without listening. I hope we are not like that when we are listening to sermons, to talks. People writing songs that voices never share. No one dare disturb the sound of silence. So this song was first introduced at stage in a live performance in Harlem and in June 1966. And the author of the song summarized it, saying that the song is trying to express this sadness that people are not able to communicate with each other intentionally or emotionally. So that you can see people around unable because they cannot communicate. They cannot express the love to each other. The scripture that we read this morning is a continuation of my sermon series on 1 Samuel. Last time I shared the message of Hannah's songs, praise. We learn from Hannah how grateful she is to God's blessings. So she dedicated Samuel, her little boy at that time, only 4 years old. Now when we come to this chapter, chapter 2, Samuel is about 14 years old. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. Eli was the high priest serving at the temple. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Words and vision is most important to the Israelites in those times. That's how God communicated to them through the prophets. Words from the Lord and visions. In Proverbs, we very often like to quote Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. So sometimes we use that to share in AMMs, which is coming up very soon, that the church need to have a vision statement. We need to have a vision. Of course, we have a mission statement printed right at the front door. That churches need to have a vision, a statement, so that we know where we're going. But here, actually, the word vision doesn't mean what we meant today, our vision statement. Vision is prophecy. So the people without the prophecy of God in the time of Israel in the Old Testament, then they'll be lost. They need prophecy from the Lord, and they need the word from the Lord. And in those days, both of these important way of communication was rare. God was not talking to them. So when the Lord is not talking to them, they know they are in trouble. The Lord is quiet. And sometimes we married couples and we have arguments, fights. I'm sure every married couple will have some arguments. But arguments is not the worst thing to happen. Well, usually you can argue for the whole day when you get tired. But the worst thing is if your spouse refuse to talk to you. That is torturing, isn't it? Right? Just tell me what you are unhappy about. If your spouse just silence, then you know you're in deep trouble. So when God give you prophecies and telling you to repent, at least you know that God cares about you. But when God is silent, quiet, there's no word or prophecy from God, then the Israelites know that they are in deep trouble. And Eli, and one like Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. Well, we all know, anyone who know a little bit about Old Testament know that Eli was not a good priest. And his two sons are worse. They make fun of the priesthood. They do really bad things, immoral things at the temple. And this whole family is not exactly your spiritual model. I mean, if we have elder election coming up, I'm sure we're not going to elect Eli. And definitely not his two sons to be elders. I mean, we probably won't even accept their membership. So Eli was lying down there, his eyes are weakening. Now, here, of course, talking about his physical eyes, he probably need a laser surgery, which not available in those days. So he's starting to have a poor vision. But from this verse, we can also see the spiritual status of Eli. He lost his spiritual vision, which is even more important than his physical eyesight. He lost the spiritual vision when he heard Hannah was praying, and he thought that she was drunk. And he did nothing when his sons made mockery of their priesthood. He did nothing to restrain his sons when they did more immoral things at the temple. So this verse also tells us that the spiritual status of Eli, but also is a reflection of the spiritual status of the people of Israel. But we go on and read verse 3. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out. It is a requirement in the temple that the light, you know, the candles will be lit throughout the night into the morning. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. God's light has not gone out. There's hope. There's hope with the people of Israel. Even though at that time, God is not talking to them. God is mad at them. God stayed in silence. But there's hope. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out. If you look at the mainstream churches in the West, in Europe, in Canada, we can see that all the mainstream churches are declining. Many churches lost a significant number of their members, not just before the pandemic. A lot of the churches have to sell their property. And many of these church properties are actually purchased by minority groups. And many of the minority churches are growing, same as in the Alliance. We started with just one Chinese Alliance churches, but now I lost count now. Maybe we have 80. And look at the elders for the numbers. And we're still growing. We're adding more and more. So the minority groups, the churches are growing, but the mainstream churches are declining. Israel, they're in a very poor spiritual state. But the Lamb of God had not yet gone out. And if we read, we know the history of the Old Testament, we know that God did not leave the Israelites alone. God continued to remind them, to repent, to turn back. God never left them. Just like the Lamb of the God just stay on in the temple. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So little Samuel is about 14 years old, and he's just a little boy. Even though he's serving in the temple, he is a very innocent, but a very faithful, obedient, a good boy. And God, later on, when we read the Bible, we know that God used Samuel to bring the people of Israel back to him. And Samuel eventually became one of the greatest prophets of Israel, next to Moses. So God would not forsaken you. Same today. Sometimes we may be in a very poor spiritual status today. Our situation may look dim, gloomy, but God would not give you up. So don't give up on yourself. The lights of the Lord will stay on, and God will revive us, will lift us up again. Samuel, the little Samuel, did not yet know God. Doesn't mean that he doesn't know who Jehovah is. It's just that he has not a personal relationship with him yet. And Samuel is trained to be a prophet. So God has not revealed any prophecy to him yet. So he's just an intern, preparing an intern prophet, preparing himself. So he is still a simple little boy. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. He stayed close to the ark. And we are familiar with this story that how the Lord called Samuel in the middle of the night. We just read that 4 times. The first 3 times, the Lord called him, and he ran to Eli. He thought that it was Eli who was calling him. And then he said, "Here I am." And then Eli said, "No, it's not me. Go back to sleep." Right? So after the third time, then Eli know that it's the Lord Jehovah that's calling Samuel. And then Samuel, so the fourth time, Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then God start using Samuel as the prophet and start revealing his vision, prophecy to Samuel about the destruction of Eli's family. And God called Eli, called Samuel, called him Samuel, Samuel. If you read the scripture, we know that whenever God calls a person, his name, twice, Norman, Norman, Cynthia, Cynthia, there's something significant, important is going to happen. God called Abraham, 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 twice the name in Genesis 22:11. And Abraham said, "Here I am. I'm willing to listen." The Lord also called Jacob, 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 in Genesis 46:2. The name twice. So something important is going to happen. So Jacob said, "Here I am." He replied. And then the Lord said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into great nation there." Other occasions, God called his chosen people, like Moses in Exodus 3:4. "Moses, Moses." And what did Moses say in return? "Here I am." "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" So when God called you twice, well, I said, "God, no, never call me." Well, we're going to learn from Samuel. How would God call people? I can think of at least 10 reasons why God chose Samuel. First, I think because of Samuel's parents. If you think about it, Samuel's parents only have about 4 years to nurture him before they left him at the temple. And then every year, Hannah went back at least once to bring him new clothes. But The parents only have 4 years to nurture this little boy who became one of the greatest prophets of Israel. So it's so important. So our parents is a very important spiritual impact on us. So as parents, it's important. We bring them to Awana. We nurture them spiritually. It is important to learn Taekwondo and all this, to learn violin. But we really don't have that many years. So one time, one elder told me that, no, we have to teach our teen Sunday school. They only listen to us for so many years, and then they will not listen to you. They will not follow you. It's so true. So parents, it's important to equip our children to compete in the society in the future. But it is even more important to equip them so that they can grow spiritually on their own. Samuel left their parents when he was at 4 years old. 4 years old, my goodness. We still to cook for our children at 4 years old. Right? And the next reason I can think of that God used Samuel, he's a child with a young man, 14 years old, a young teen with a pure heart. The scripture said, what we read, he does not know the Lord. Doesn't mean that he does not know Jehovah, but he doesn't have a personal relationship with him yet. He's still really pure, simple. He probably still haven't gone for the Christianity 101 that we are taking place every Sunday here. Right? Probably haven't baptized even today in our system. But he has a pure heart. He's willing to listen. Sometimes we theologians, those who spend a lot of time studying theology, studying Greek, Hebrew, we sometimes become like the Pharisees. Once I mention Pharisees, and they think that they're bad people, right? They're hypocrites. But they're actually Bible scholars. They spend a lot of time, probably more than you and me, in studying the scriptures. And they try to follow the scriptures, except that they become legalistic. They focus on the scripture, but they missed the reason for reading the scripture. Samuel is the other way around. He's probably not a theologian yet, but he has the heart of the Lord. He stayed close to the Lord. Samuel lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now, today we know that God is everywhere. So that's why people don't even come to church anymore. We say, God is everywhere. I can worship God anywhere. So we're going to the other extreme. Because God is everywhere. I can meet him in the casino, in the theater, in the playland, in the roller coaster. Why do I have to come to church to worship? Right? But in the Old Testament time, God is in the temple. You want to meet God, you come to the temple. You may not be able to get to the ark, right? Only the high priest can. But Samuel laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, he has the privilege to be close to the Lord. I'm saying that you have to sit here to worship God, but don't lose this opportunity to worship in a corporate, as a community, as a corporate. Don't miss the opportunity to come to fellowships. You only have 52 times the most to come to your youth group, your fellowship. Or only maybe if you meet every other week, like the Cornos, you only have half those opportunities. Five opportunities to meet with brothers and sisters, to worship, to have fellowship, to pray together. Stay close to the Christian communities so that your fire can keep burning. He followed orders without questioning. I'm not saying that he's like a doorknob, but it's obedience to spiritual authorities. He did not ask questions. He did not question spiritual authority. I'm not saying that you don't ask any questions in the church. No, I don't mean that. But he followed because he is submissive to Eli. He's assigned to support Eli. So he listened, he obeyed. It's not like Jonah, the other prophet. He questioned, he challenged. He's not happy about God's order, asking him to save the enemies. So the God said, do you have the right to be angry? The Lord saying to Jonah, it isn't your plant. It's my Nineveh. It isn't your people to decide their fate. They are Maya and they don't have a clue spiritually. Even though Samuel may not understand everything, but he follows. Speak, for your servant is listening. This is the key word. This is the takeaway verse this morning. Speak, for your servant is listening. The word listening, shama, meaning to hear, to listen, to obey, not just to hear. To hear of or concerning, to hear with attention or interest, listen to understand, to consent, to agree. It's more than just listening. It's to obey as well. And also, little Samuel, as a little man of action, when he heard the calling, he ran. The scripture is very articulate here. He ran. He did not walk. I mean, it's the middle of the night. I don't know. Probably 4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe. 5 o'clock in the morning. It's the middle of the night. He ran. He started running to Eli. That's how responsible this little man is. Because he knows that he is there to obey, to follow Eli's order. So once he heard someone calling, well, he thought that is Eli. He ran in the middle of the night. He got up and ran over there to Eli. Said, here I am. You call me. He put things into action. And very often we say that I don't hear God's calling. But very often it's not that we did not hear. It's just that we do not want to take the action. Kind of like Jonah. So the Lord keep calling you, sometimes more than, I'm sure more than 3 times, 4 times, but we just don't want to get up and do it, isn't it? He's a very self-disciplined person. I mean, it is the middle of the night, right? To get up 4 times, it's quite tiring. Right? If I were him, after the second time, I'd pretend that I could not hear Eli. Right? He called, okay, I just pretend I don't hear. I'm tired. But he's very disciplined. And something that I really respect him is that he respects the spiritual authority of Eli. Even though he probably heard a lot of bad things about this high priest. He's not exactly a good model, your model high priest. And his 2 sons, I'm sure probably everybody around in the community know that those 2 sons are bad boys. But yet, he respects the uniform. Respect. Eli was anointed by the Lord. Your pastor may not be the best pastor in the world, may not be the best speaker, the best theologian, but God anointed them. So you respect them. But what if they are saying wrong things? They're giving us wrong directions. They're not being a good example. Unless they did something that's unbiblical, we follow spiritual authority. And let God will punish his anointed servants. That's God's job, not your job, to punish your parents. Listen to your parents. Your parents may not be the smartest. They may not know how to operate the internet as well as you. They may sometimes have ideas that may sound silly to you, but that's parents are God's given authority to direct and to protect you. So you listen to them. But what if they do stupid things? Let God will punish them, just like God punished Eli and his 2 sons. God actually have very severe punishment for Eli. But that's God's job. Your job is to listen to the spiritual authority, unless it's unbiblical. Samuel followed the spiritual authority. He also is a very hard-working boy, because right after all this calling four times, getting up, he slept until the morning and then opened the door. It's worship time. People are coming. He get up and do his same thing. He get up and open the door. He did not forget. He didn't say, okay, can I take half a day off? No, I worked really hard last night. I got working overtime now. Actually, I'm talking to the Lord. My goodness, that's extra work. So I should be able to take the morning off. No. He got up and go and do his normal things. Open the door so that people can come in to worship. It's very hardworking. And when Eli asked him to tell him everything, and he did. He told him everything. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing for him. And as pastors, I have to say that sometimes we do hesitate. Sometimes we don't want to offend the members too much. If I keep nagging you the same thing over and over, you may get mad. You always have this final control that I can leave this church. the worst thing that the pastor want to hear is that I'm going to leave this church and I go to the church next door. You know, they have a pastor there. They don't only talk about love and all these things. You know, you always talk about sin. Repent. I don't like it. I want to go to the church that talk about love and blessing. It's so comforting. So as a pastor, we always have this sometimes hesitate when I offend people. But here Samuel told him everything. God is going to punish you, even though you are the high priest. Of course, that's Eli is not very happy. But it also tells you Eli is in a very poor spiritual state. He said that he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. If I were Eli, I would say, the Lord, help me to repent. I want to repent and go back to you. But what did Eli say? Do whatever is good in your eyes. He gave up. My goodness, he gave up as a high priest. You should repent like the people in Nineveh. Go and repent fast and God may save you. Right? But he did not. He is the Lord. Basically, I mean, maybe be a bit mad. Say, let him do whatever he thinks is right. And Samuel continued to grow. He did not just stay there. And for many of us, spiritual veterans is our Bible knowledge. The same for the last 30 years. The last time we learned anything new from the Bible was 30 years ago. We are just repeating what we have learned 30 years ago in Christianity 101. Have we grown spiritually? That's why God used this little boy, Samuel. And brothers and sisters, we need to learn from Samuel. But what's more important, we need to learn to hear God's voice. You can worship God like Samuel did, but do not know him. That is scary. You can even serve in a temple like Samuel did, but you do not know God. At least do not know him intimately. You may be serving a lot in the church for years. You may be even teaching Bibles in BSF. But do you really know God? You can hear God speaking, but yet not recognize that it is God. So I never hear God like Samuel did. God has been speaking to you over and over again, because now we have the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, God doesn't speak to everybody, at least physically. But today, the Holy Spirit is inside us. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit all the time. Not just three times, four times. But you do not hear, or you are not willing to listen. You hear, but not listening. Like the song of silence. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. How do I know? Very often, God speaks to you through spiritual mentors, spiritual authorities. I'm not saying that everything I tell you to do, you should do. But if your pastors, your elders, your Sunday school teacher, your parents, who are God's given spiritual authorities, keep telling you to do the same thing. Maybe God is trying to speak to you, like through Eli to Samuel. You have to listen. Don't just hear. It's very often it's your heart that refuses to run, to do. That's why you said, I do not hear. I do not hear God's voice. You have to humble yourself. Lord, your servant is here. I am listening. Very often, it's not that God is not speaking to you. It's that your heart is not willing to humble yourself. So you hear, but you're not listening. Half a century ago, a famous specialist, a doctor, Alfred Tomatis. He is a very well-known, I don't know how to pronounce this word, a specialist on the throat, ear, probably Dr. Joe would know, throat, ear specialist. And he has a very, a patient that he is really puzzled with the problem with this patient. This patient is an opera, is a very well-known opera singer. And he mysteriously lost his ability to hear certain high notes when singing. And even though that note is well within his vocal range, and he is very puzzled. So he went to see this the doctor, Tomatis. And then the specialist doctor is also very puzzled, and he checked his vocal cord and all this float. He could not find any problem. But somehow, he just could not hit that high note. And then eventually, he discovered that this an opera singer can sing up to 140 decibels, which is about the sound of a jet engine. The sound is so high that the singer was actually deafened by his own singing. It's bizarre, isn't it? And becomes selective muteness. So because he cannot hear that high note, so it's called selective deafness, then he cannot sing that note. So he find it very interesting. So from that he discovered that a lot of the workers in factories, they have problem in speaking. Because they work in such a noisy environment, they become deafened to a certain sound range. And when you cannot hear, you cannot speak. So he discovered this theory. It's called the three laws of Dr. Alfred Tomatis. The first law is the voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. Second, if the sounds can be restored to the ear, the voice will immediately and unconsciously restore the missing sounds. So you find it, the way to heal the voice is actually to heal the ear. And I find this very interesting. You cannot produce the voice unless the ear can hear. If we cannot hear the word of God, We cannot reproduce the word of God through our mouth. We do not hear the voice of God. We cannot serve according to His will. If we do not hear God's voice saying that He loves you, we cannot experience the love. Then we can only hear the voice from the world of hatred. If we do not hear the voice of God that is full of power, we don't feel the power of the gospel. That's why most of Christians do not share gospel with others, because we do not experience this power of the gospel like Paul the Apostle did, because we did not hear this power from God. If we do not hear the voice of healing from the Lord, we are always in a state of brokenness. I share brothers and sisters, church, some people always came to me and said, I'm trying to heal my brokenness. I mean, it has been so many years. I mean, it's about time for you to move on. But he's still talking about trying to heal the brokenness, because you do not hear the voice of God, the voice of healing. If you do not hear, you cannot reproduce in your mouth. You could not speak words of healing, and yourself cannot be healed. Why are you today not happy? Because you cannot hear the voice of joy from the Lord. If you cannot hear, you cannot reproduce with your mouth. So your mouth cannot speak with joy. And your life cannot be full with joy. It's so true, isn't it? We need to listen to God, or else we are trying to share and teach people with what's in our own mind. We try to teach God's word with our own strength, and we try to serve the Lord with our own will and ability. It's almost like Samuel when he do not know the Lord. So many people in the church, we do not hear the word of God, and we try to teach the word of the Lord, and we try to serve in our own will. That's why we have so much trouble in the church. People who are trying to do their own things, serve in their own way, and then only cause conflict between people. We need to listen to the word of the Lord. Is the Lord speaking to you? Absolutely. It's only that you do not want to listen. You do not want to follow. 6 years ago, when I was asked to be the senior pastor, I said, I do not want a job. I do not need a job. I'm quite happy with my engineering job. So I said, I will pray about it. So I told the board, unless I hear something from heaven very clearly, I will not accept this job. I don't need a job. I don't want it. I said, unless I hear something from heaven. And then they scratched their head and said, what is this sound going to be like? I said, I don't know. It has to be something extraordinary. Because for me to take this step, it is extraordinary for me. So it only makes sense that I hear something extraordinary from the Lord. I will not take this risky step myself. So I prayed that for a long time. I listened for a long time. But every time I sat down with the elders, I said, I did not hear any voice. I did not hear any voice. I said, what kind of voice are you expecting? Well, it has to be some special voice that I never heard before. Now, when I look back, actually, I heard the voice when the first time they asked me. It's just that it's not the answer. It's not the answer that I want to hear from the Lord. So I said that, no, I want something different. The Lord has been keep talking to me during the period of time while I was praying. But actually, when I look back, God's voice is very clear. But It's not the answer I want. So I said, I don't hear. I want to hear something else. Aren't we all like that? I mean, you know what the Lord has been speaking to you about, but it's not the answer that you want. So I don't hear it. Keep talking to me. So brothers and sisters, let's learn from Samuel. Speak, for your servant is listening. You need to bow down, humble yourself before the Lord first. If your heart comes in first, you need to humble yourself. And then you said your servant or slave, another translation. You have to come to the Lord as a slave first, not as a master, as a control. I will think about it. I will decide if this is good for me. You come to the Lord as a slave and say, I am listening. I'm obeying. Then you know what the Lord is trying to say to you. He has spoken to you long time ago, but you are not willing to obey. Once you heard it, you listened, you consult spiritual mentors, then you get up and run and start putting it into action. Let's pray. Father, we all of us come before you. Let us bow down, humble ourselves, be a servant, willing to listen, to follow, and to run to you. Help all of us. If we cannot listen, we cannot speak for you, and we cannot serve you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.